Hello and welcome to the Go Home Show podcast, brought to you by Spoof, your one-stop shop for all things professional wrestling with weekly chats with WWE superstars. We have got a good one for you this week. All the news you might have missed from the previous 7 days and a look at some of the WWE Network's finest content. And this week we have a very, very special guest referee to join proceedings in the form of Inside the Ropes' very own Kenny McIntosh. How are you today, Kenny?
I'm good. I'm very excited to be here. It's nice because sometimes you don't actually want to be there and actually do want to be on this one. So that's good. I don't need to pretend today.
We're going to make you regret saying that very quickly. In a world of professional wrestling, you're now in the world of amateur podcasting.
Listen, I'm the king of amateur podcasting. I've been doing that for 8 years. How do I got to where I am right now? Crappy podcasts.
It's the dream. It's the best job in the world. Kenny, so what is it that first got you into wrestling?
So this will be showing how old I am, but my mum's friend Gail bought me a Hasbro wrestling ring in like 1990 for my Christmas, and I was like five, and I had never watched it. I had no idea what it was, so my mum immediately bought me some Hasbros. And when I saw Akeem the African Dream, I was hooked. And then I just started watching the tapes. I've loved it ever since then. But funnily enough, I stopped watching in 2004 when Chris Benoit was champion. So I was ahead of the curve, knowing that he was not good. But I've loved it ever since, and then somehow landed up doing this.
And obviously, Inside the Ropes is very successful now. I've been on many of your shows, like Paul Heyman, Cody, Shawn Michaels. As you can see from my background, this is from your show, Goldberg. What made you want to start Inside the Ropes?
Well, it's funny you got that Shawn Michaels photo there. We noticed on tour that Shawn Michaels had the exact same face in every photo that took place. I've never seen it done before or since. It is a skill that man has developed. So it was like late 2011, I was at an ICW show and I bumped into this guy called Robert, and he had done film journalism and I'd done broadcast journalism. There was like a community radio show on Glasgow about wrestling. I don't want to say it was bad, but we thought we could do a better one. So we started doing Inside the Ropes. And then the following year, I think it was 2013, I had like three things that happened in succession. So like a relationship ended, I lost my job, well, I quit my job in TV, and then I had to move back home with my mum. And she's really hard to live with, so that was really difficult in particular. But all those things happened, and I was like, I need to do something different. And I read that DDP was going to be doing some yoga in Dundee, which is a very strange sentence to think about. So I reached out to his guy and I was like, why don't we do like a Q&A in Glasgow? Like, why don't I just like interview him on stage and people would want to meet him? And we did that, and that went well. The thing is, the first few Inside the Ropes live shows, while they were good, made no money whatsoever. The fourth one we did was Jim Cornette, and we lost like £500 doing it. And the guy, Robert, I was doing it with at the time, was just like, are we just marks for doing this? I think at that point we probably were, because we weren't making any money. So we took a break and then came back and did the Sting tour in 2015, and that got me hired by What Culture. And
would you say that maybe the Sting tour was the moment you realised this could become a full job for you, actually doing touring and Q&As with wrestlers?
I think that definitely was the beginning of me being like, could this be a thing? But nah, it's probably not going to be. And then I think it was like the Raw before WrestleMania 32. Or something like that. But I was at a show in America and I got a text from somebody I knew in wrestling who said, what if I could get you Heyman? And then we got Heyman. I was like, well, if we can get him, the no-goes are maybe a go. So that was the point where I was kind of like, this might not just be a one-year thing. This might be for good. So, I mean, now COVID's happened, so who knows if we're going to get to do it again. Probably one night only with Virgil in front of five people, but at this point, I'll take that. I'll bring Virgil over. I'm gagging to do a show.
There's a lot of name drops in there. Like, we had Paul Heyman dropped in there casually. We had Shawn Michaels dropped in there casually. We had DDP dropped in there casually, as if it weren't a thing. Is there any particular funny stories or memories you've got from those kind of tours that stand out to you? Perhaps one that a story you don't tell so often.
So when we had Shawn Michaels over, like, I was very worried about meeting him because I was thinking he's going to just think, who are these people? But luckily we had a certain friend from a Claymore country who was able to put in a good word for us. So he was very nice. He was very, he was lovely. But the first day in Ireland, we get to the hotel and I was like, oh, by the way, Sean, if you want my number, like if you need anything, just let me know if something comes up. I said, do you want me to put my number in your phone? And he just looked at me and he was like, are you trying to get my number? And I was like, No, I'm not asking you out Shawn Michaels, but I get where you're coming from. So I gave him my number, went away, thought that's it, had the free day. And then about 2 hours later, I got this text message from Shawn Michaels going, Kenny, bit of a strange request, but I forgot my hot water bottle. Is there any chance you could go out and get me one? So I go to get a hot water bottle for Shawn Michaels, because that's what you do on a Monday morning. And then, like, I'm walking up this corridor to his hotel room, and I'm like, this is just so strange. And then I get to the door, and he answers it, and he's just wearing a pair of shorts, and he is ripped. And I hand him this hot water bottle with the realization that I will never in my life be in the physical shape that this 53-year-old man is in, who doesn't even wrestle anymore. So I just walked back feeling quite dirty, quite ashamed, and quite confused from the experience of giving Shawn Michaels a hot water bottle. But apparently his joints felt good the next day and he was all set to go for the show, so it was worth it.
Surely, as you were walking up the stairs at this hotel or up the lift with a hot water bottle in hand, surely there was some part of you there like, this is a rib. Like, this is a rib, and I'm going to knock on Big Mike's room of like four doors down, standing there with a hot water bottle wondering what's going on.
There was part of me thinking that, but you have to do it, because what if he's not ribbing you and then the story gets out you've refused to get him a hot water bottle, and then he walks on stage like John Wayne and it's your fault. That's just one of the random encounters that you will experience.
The first show I went to of yours was Paul Heyman up in Manchester. What was he like away from it? Because obviously we've seen the character. Obviously we've got a partnership with yourselves and we use your videos on Facebook. They're the most popular videos on there. What's he like away from the camera?
He was great. Like, so when he arrived in London, right, I was like, I am fascinated to see what Paul Heyman is going to look like when he just comes off the plane. Do you know what I mean? Because you just can't imagine him in joggies, do you know what I mean? Like walking off the plane. Because this was the Monday after UFC 200, where Brock had just beaten Mark Hunt. So I'm like waiting at Heathrow thinking, what's it going to be like, 7 a.m. And he walks out full suit, full strut. And then we went for like a crew dinner the night before. There was like 15 of us. There was all the crew. There was him, his camera guy. And he like made a point of like going up to everybody and kind of getting to know them a little bit and making them feel important. And then I went to go and pay the bill. And when I walked up, the guy was like, well, it's already been taken care of. That guy over there took care of it, and it was Heyman. And he'd like just paid this £150-£200 food bill like that. And that was like the first impression. So I've always had a great experience with him. We still kind of keep in contact a little bit. So
speaking of which, Kenny, you mentioned The Undertaker there. I remember when we were in the Sporf office and when it was announced, and basically we're all going crazy, mainly because we were waiting to see if Crush could actually get tickets. Because he went straight all in for that VIP pass. What went into actually getting Taker for that tour? Because if I'm right, wasn't this like his first sort of Q&A session he'd done outside of WWE in any way?
Yeah, this is like bringing up like a bereavement. Because it's like you think it's going to be the biggest thing you ever do, and then it kind of falls apart and there's nothing you can do about it. We got Taker through a company he was working with who were booking him for outside gigs, and unbeknownst to us, they agreed to a contract with us, and that wasn't something that he had agreed with WWE. So I think the StarCast thing basically mucked it up. And when we got him, it was easier than you would think. It was just, you know, we've got a really good rep. We've done loads of shows. People can vouch for us. So we were able to get it done. But it then all fell apart. And it was a case of, I could work really hard to make sure he was there for the meet and greet, and that's it, or not be there at all. The difficulty for me is that, like, I don't really do these events for meet and greets. Like, I do them because I want to do the show and I want to do the interview, and that's, like, the sell for me personally doing it. And it's difficult because, like, I just don't have any good memories of that experience. It is one of the worst experiences I've ever had. So, personally, it's just not a great experience for me because it was so difficult to get it to happen. And luckily, Mick Foley stepped in to save the day, because if he hadn't stepped in, I don't think we'd be sitting here having this conversation. But it was just really rough, and to do all that work just for some photos is difficult for me to justify. But a lot of people who were at the shows were like, I got to meet The Undertaker because of you. I never thought that was going to happen, so I'm glad that that's there, and I wouldn't change it because so many people got to meet him because of that. And there was people who came up to me at the shows and they were like giving me like cards saying thank you and stuff. So it's it's not about me, but I'm glad that people got to meet him in the end.
I'm very tempted to just cancel the rest of the show and just have you talk about every wrestler you've met ever, because I am completely enthralled. However, I know Crush has put a lot of time into putting this show together. So to honour him, we will move on to five things that you may have missed. And we start with the sad news of the passing of Ryan Smile after losing his battle with mental health. Ryan was a staple within the British indie scene, working heavily with OTT and RevPro. His work with Lucha Forever, I know, has been something that we all very much enjoyed on the Go Home show. Very, very sad to hear his passing. Our best wishes to his friends, his family, and all those affected. Crush, I know you kind of half met him. Was it? You went to WrestleMania 33, I believe.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've Or was it there that you met him?
Yeah, so when I went to WrestleMania 33, it was on the Thursday, I think it was, and I queued up 4 hours to meet Charlotte, and then I had to rush over to try and meet Kevin Owens. And as I've got out of the Uber, him and Alex Windsor walked past me, and I was just like starstruck, because I was like, oh my God, it's a wrestler that I recognise, but no one else knows who he is. So that was kind of weird. And then I saw him at WrestleCon. He was on Team Osprey against Team Ricochet. He had a dance-off, like he had his high-flying moves. In that dance-off, like Drew full-on got up and was dancing to Uptown Funk. But yeah, that was great. And then obviously I saw Lucha Forever at the Comedy Store up in Manchester. Tuesday Night Graps was excellent in Manchester. I think it was about 50, 60 people in there, and it was just so good action. The top UK stars. So yeah, a very sad news yesterday, and thoughts to his friends and family.
Absolutely. If you are struggling with mental health, do reach out, do look for help. But as ever, rest in power to Ryan Smile. Moving on to the show, the biggest news for me from the week in WWE, as we had the draft finalized, was the splitting of the New Day. I am fuming about this. New Day has forever been one of my favorite factions. Elliot, what were your thoughts?
I mentioned a few weeks ago on the podcast that one of my worst tropes in wrestling is when tag teams just seem to break up for no apparent reason. In fact, I think it was the first thing to go into Room 101, which we'll get into a bit later. And this is just a prime example of it. I would have been much happier to see the cliched, you know, Shield breakup of the New Day than just having them kind of separate at the end of the SmackDown's draft session. You know, say E, man. Just say his name. Like, honestly, it was heartbreaking because this is one of the best factions WWE have ever done. The power of positivity, it's still going to be there. I'm excited for Kofi and Xavier going on to Raw, and I think it could shake up that division a little bit. But still, it's like there are ways this could have been done a lot better. And it's just, you know, just left me on a bit of a sour note, if I'm being perfectly honest.
And as we said, there were all the draft is now finalized. We saw plenty of brand switches. We saw Seth Rollins moving over to SmackDown. We saw AJ Styles coming back to Raw. Kenny, were there any particular picks that stood out to you? Any surprises you saw in there?
I mean, obviously, I was thrilled that Dana Brooke remains on Raw because, you know, it's how can I not enjoy her absolutely mediocre performance every week? She's fine. She's fine. I mean, she's rubbish, but the draft was good. I mean just kind of piggybacking off of Elliot's point, I think the only thing about the draft that was concerning was that some of it, like, so I actually liked the New Day split. I think I'm one of the minority people because, like, they have done everything, they've won all the titles. I just think it's like it's been done, like, and they're not really broken up. They are still the New Day, they're just on different brands. But the part of it that doesn't really make any sense to me is that if we're supposed to believe that Fox and USA are making the picks, then why would USA be like, I only want the two members of the New Day? I don't want the third one. Because, like, Raw took all the Hurt Business. So, like, I just needed something, like, a little bit of an explanation as to why that was the case. But I did, like, when Seth Rollins went to SmackDown, I was all brilliant, because now we'll get to move on from Seth versus the Mysterio family. And then the Mysterio family moved over. So, you know, now it's just going to be more of that. And then Murphy moved over in the supplemental draft. The key thing to remember, everybody, is that at least Natalia and Lana have broken up so that we now get their tremendous acting chops on each show, not just one. So, you know, there's at least something to look forward to.
I have to dive in here and ask you to put some respect on Lana's name. She's the number one contender, Lana. Thank you very much. This is not just some small-time wrestler we're talking about. We're talking about the number one contender to Asuka's title.
Natalia did say in an interview recently that Lana is the most underrated performer in WWE. Now, Make of that what you will, ladies and gentlemen. Send her a medic if you will, ladies and gentlemen. But that is what Natalia said. So if Natalia says it, then it's good enough for me.
Do you know what? There was one line when they came out during Ms. TV, which I really enjoyed from Lana. She delivered it really well. The you want to speak to the woman with two ex-husbands and one ex-girlfriend. If you want the tea, you need to speak to me. And I was like, oh, we've got something here. And then the Battle Royal happened and I kind of lost my head a little bit. But by the by, Crush, any thoughts from you on the draft?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I was going to stay up for Raw on Monday, but I was just absolutely shattered. The Friday night show was really good. There's a few people left undrafted. I'd probably like to see maybe someone from NXT maybe move up, as we spoke about on this podcast previously. But hopefully there'll be some more shift arounds around Survivor Series from NXT.
Absolutely. And as you may have noticed this week, I am the host. I have booted Will out for a week, which means I get to choose the things we discuss on in Five Things You May Have Missed. So we're finally going to get some Japanese wrestling into here. We are coming up to the finale of the G1 Climax. For those who don't know, G1 Climax is 20 male wrestlers split into two tables of 10. Everyone fights everyone, and the winners of each table go on to face each other to become the number one contender to the heavyweight title going to Wrestle Kingdom on January 4th. Those still left in contention include Kota Ibushi, Jay White, Okada, Will Ospreay, Tetsuya Naito, Evil, Sonata, Zack Sabre Jr. I really, really enjoy the G1. It's probably one of my favorite times of the year because it is, you do have to commit to it, but actually you don't need to watch all the matches. Just pick out the ones that you're most excited for, watch them, and then when you get to the finale, you get to the final, it's always a blockbuster. I'm very, very excited for this. If you haven't checked it out, do so. Will Ospreay is insanely talented. It's always worth a watch. Kota Ibushi, Okada, Jay White, Naito. These guys all have real, real claims to be one of the best, if not the best wrestlers in the world. They are dead, dead good. It's always worth checking out. I finally got some Japanese wrestling into the Go Home show. I've never been prouder of myself. However, I do have to concede that this is not the biggest news of the week. And actually, the big headlines that should be dominating all your news feeds is the news that Sami Zayn is looking to appear on the Great British Bake Off. This is truly world-changing news. Kenny, can I get your immediate reaction, please?
I mean, if you're not watching the Great British Bake Off, what are you even doing here? I mean, luckily, you know, Boris might not have got everything right, but he allowed the Bake Off to happen this year. Government restrictions allowed the Bake Off to happen. So at least there's that. This is great. This is just like the prime content that you want. If Sami Zayn is not on the Stand Up For Cancer Bake Off next year, like, it has to happen now. I mean, look at some of the crap celebrities they've got on it usually. Like, there was last year, there was a YouTuber on it. A YouTuber on Bake Off. Good God. I say that as someone who does YouTube interviews, but so I think I need to see him on there. I mean, imagine like Sami Zayn on like bread week. Like, it just, him like looking through the oven, trying to see if his bread's rising. It'd just be tremendous. And like, hopefully he's still the IC champ, so he can have his belt at the end of his table. The interactions with Paul Hollywood and him, would he get a handshake? Would he do a haluva kick to him? Lots of questions.
Elliot, your thoughts?
I mean, as someone who's, I've watched a little bit of Bake Off here and there, I'm not a diehard fan, but this would immediately draw me in, without doubt. I like Sami Zayn. He's one of the most underrated wrestlers in WWE at the moment. I think it'd be absolutely hilarious. And I just want to see him interacting with Noel Fielding, which is something I'd never actually think would ever happen. Old Greg and Sammy and El Generico in the same room. What sort of world is this? I think it'd be absolutely great.
Crush, I know you're a big Bake Off fan. Obviously, this week was Chocolate Week. Some say the most important week of Bake Off. As our resident Bake Off expert, how do you think he'd get on?
I mean, I wouldn't say expert. I've only got into it this series because I've been forced to watch it, but I am enjoying it, actually. I think he'd be up there because some of the standard, like, this past week was dreadful. Like, it was Chocolate Week. They were given chocolate brownies and half of them completely failed. So I definitely think he'd get past chocolate brownie and he'd make an impressive last cake for the challenge. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him on Stand Up To Cancer next year, as Kenny said before.
I think I agree. I think all I pray for is we get Sami Zayn in full current heel gimmick as well. There's not enough heels in Bake Off. Give me that and I'm all in for it. We will move on to Convince Me. Crush, we are on the draft this week. What are we saying?
Yeah, so Convince Me, as Chris said, We pick a topic. This week it is who is the best pick of the draft and why. Each member's going to bring their answer and try and convince each other that theirs is the best answer. And we're going to go for 45 seconds per person. And Kenny, as you are the special guest this week, I'm going to come to you first. So in 45 seconds, who is the best draft pick and why?
I think the best draft pick of this this year is Kevin Owens. And the reason why is at WrestleMania, he beat Seth Rollins, had this big victory, and he's not really been able to do anything since. He's floundered, and now he goes to SmackDown. He can have a program with Sami Zayn, his best former best friend, over the IC title. He could face Roman in a big Universal title match. I think the grass is so much greener for KO on Friday nights, and he can finally be a star again. So I think he's got to be the pick of the year.
For me, I have gone with the pick I made last week, which was Mustafa Ali, and by extension, Retribution. Because for me, there's no point doing a draft and doing a brand split if you're going to have people jumping back and forth on both Monday and Raw every week. I think having Retribution solely on Raw, having them solely interfere with Raw, is good for building them up. I think Mustafa Ali brings a lot of legitimacy to them. I'm a lot more invested in a faction that I wasn't interested in just a couple of weeks ago because of its addition. So hopefully it means that going into Hell in a Cell and going into Survivor Series and everything, the storylines will grow and we'll have a bit more focus and nuance going forward.
38 seconds, impressive. Chris, you like to go over time in reviews. 45 seconds, you're on the clock.
Zero chance I keep this under 45 seconds, but my pick is very simple. It is Charlotte, number 5 overall on the first day of the draft. For me, Charlotte has probably the strongest claim out of any wrestler currently of being the greatest of all time. It's one of those I was very, very happy to see her get essentially put over as this big female talent without her having to come back too soon. We didn't need to see her forced onto TV. It was just a very, very simple way to remind the world Charlotte's still about. She's still that good. And I'm very, very excited to see her return whenever that is. For me, Charlotte, number 5 overall, is the best pick of the draft.
Impressive. You did it in 34 seconds. So well done, Chris. You're learning. So it's my turn now, and I am going to go for Alexa Bliss to Raw. Obviously, in the past few weeks, we've seen that crossover between Raw and SmackDown with The Fiend, which stems back to Extreme Rules. So I'm very excited for her to move over. One, because The Fiend is on Raw, and we saw that great moment this week where they did the tandem Sister Abigail. It was perfect, in time, great camera shot. But also because Raw has a stacked women's division. Like, we've got Asuka as champion. We've got Lana, we've got Shayna Baszler, Nia Jax, Charlotte, we've got Alexa Bliss now, we've got Naomi, we've got Peyton Royce, we've got Nikki Cross. There is so many people in there. We've got Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose. So many talent on there. I'm looking forward to seeing where the Raw division goes.
No chance that was under 45 seconds.
It was 41,
no chance.
So
not buying it.
There we go.
It's a fix. It's a fix.
But that is our choice. What is your choice at home? Let us know in the comments on YouTube or reply to us on Twitter at GoHomeShowPod and vote in the poll to see which person you agree with.
Once again, it is that time. It is time for the wrestling quiz. Team will, as ever, the team will go head-to-head each week in a quick quiz format based around a specific topic. For example, the topic may be hardcore champions, and then they need to say how many they can name, almost bidding for a shot at naming them. I may say 5, Crush may say 6, Elliot may 7, we all may tap out, and therefore Elliot would have to name 7 hardcore champions to win the day. Now, last week's winner was Mr. Alex McCarthy from Talk Sport. So normally, the winner would do the quiz for the next week. However, obviously, Alex is not with us, but we are joined by our very, very, very special guest referee, Mr. Kenny McIntosh. So Kenny, you are our quiz master for the week. What is your topic?
So the topic that I've got, see how clever you all really are. I'm going to be kind about it because I could be very, very difficult, but I'm not going to. I just need you guys to name as many WrestleMania host cities for the 36 WrestleManias that there have been. So I'm going to need you guys to have a think and tell me how many you think you can get, and then put your money where your mouth is.
How many are there overall?
I want you to give me all 36.
Oh,
if
right,
you
okay.
Can.
Right.
This is just going to be a test of me naming as many American cities as I can and hoping.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to start the bidding.
No, but wait. No. What I need you here to do is I need you to tell me the city for the year. You can't just name a city.
God.
It's like you need to give
gosh.
Me, like, what is the city for what year or what WrestleMania? What was the city for WrestleMania 5? What was the city for WrestleMania 20? Like, this is where it is. This is where you need to
I'll start.
Up.
I can name the last five, so I'm going to go five.
Okay.
I will say six.
Right.
I don't know how you guys have gotten to half a dozen. I don't. I think I could name one city just because it's been used in several different ones. So I'm going to tap early. I'm not ashamed about it.
All right, Chris, I'm raising it to seven.
I'm tapping out at seven instantly. I knew my number. It was six because I'd worked it out in my head. I tap out, instantly tap out of that. And I don't think you can do it.
All right, okay, we'll prove yourself. Right, I've got 60 seconds, Chris, so can you time me while Kenny fact-checks for me?
Okay,
cool. Are you ready? Cross, yes. Are you ready to lose by disqualification? Go.
Can I include WrestleMania 37, Kenny, or is that out of the question?
No, because that's not 100% confirmed, okay. So...
WrestleMania 36 is Orlando.
Yep.
WrestleMania 35 is New Jersey / New York.
Yep.
WrestleMania 34 is New Orleans. WrestleMania 33, as I've mentioned many times, is Orlando, Florida.
No, you were at that, right?
I was at that show. Believe that or not, I was at that.
Just so we're clear.
WrestleMania 32 is in Texas.
What city in Texas?
It's at the Cowboys Stadium. Where's the Cowboys Stadium?
Well, I know this one now.
Arlington.
Yes, correct.
So how many is that? Five. Only two more. WrestleMania 30 was in New Orleans.
Uh-huh.
And WrestleMania 31 was in California. How many time have I got left, Chris?
5 seconds.
What city?
Santa Clara.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, no way!
Good guess.
Where did you pull Santa Clara from?
Because it's the Levi Stadium, so it's... There we go.
I thought you were going to go San Francisco. That's what I thought would do you, because I knew it was at Levi Stadium.
Just to prove that I'm not BSing, shall I just quickly give you all the other answers?
Yeah, go for it. Start at one and work our way through.
Okay, one, New York City. Two was in three cities. It was in LA, Chicago, and Long Island. Three was in Pontiac, Michigan. Four was in Trump Plaza in Atlantic City. So was five. Six was in Toronto. Seven was in LA. Eight was in Indianapolis. Nine was in Las Vegas. 10 was in New York. 11 was in Hartford, Connecticut. 12 was in Anaheim, California. 13 was Rosemont, Illinois. 14 was Boston. 15 was Philadelphia, 16 was Anaheim, 17 was Houston, 18 was Toronto, 19 was Seattle, 20 was New York, 21 was LA, 22 was Chicago, 23 was Detroit, 24 was Orlando, 25 was Houston, 26 was Phoenix, 27 was Atlanta, 28 was Miami, 29 was New Jersey, taking us to WrestleMania 30 in New Orleans.
I was going to say that might have been the most difficult topic we've ever had. But then I remembered that last week Elliot did members of the 2000 Halloween Havoc or whatever it was. And that really completely stumped me. But Cross, genuinely, I am very, very impressed. That was an excellent effort. Do you think you could have named more WrestleMania locations matched to their years than Cross? If so, let us know on Twitter at Go Home Show Pod or in the YouTube comments. Do you think you could have beaten Cross? I am very, very impressed. Crush, that may have been your Mona Lisa of efforts so far. I'm very impressed.
It'd been easier for this name when it was in Orlando. It's been in Orlando like four times.
Yeah, if you'd just gone Orlando and New York City, you'd have been fine.
Hell in a Cell is only a week away, so it's time to stock up on your drinks for watching at home or in the Thunderdome. And how better to enjoy watching along than with the company of some fresh and delicious beer from all over the globe. There's no need to worry about heading to the shops to stock up. Beer 52 will bring the beer to you. They're offering a free, yes, that is free, case of 8 craft beers sourced and curated from the best breweries on the planet. All you need to do is go to www.beer52.com/thegohomeshow and cover $5.95 for postage. Each case is delivered direct to your doorstep, so no need to leave the house. Looking to stock up? Now is your chance. Beer 52 is the world's most popular craft beer discovery club with over 150,000 members that they send a brand new case to each month. Each month's case has a different theme. Past themes have included beer from New Zealand, South Africa, Korea, and all over USA and Europe. So that's beer52.com. That's the word beer, then the numbers 52.com/thegohomeshow for free. That is free beers.
It is that time, however, for Wrestling Room 101. And this week, I'm handing it over to Mr. Elliot. The rules are simple. Every week, a different member of the panel will bring with them one thing from the world of wrestling that they'd like to get rid of forever. They present it to the group, If it enters room 101, it's gone forever. If not, we have to continue living with it. This week, I am judge, jury, and executioner after my triumphant appearance last week. And this week, Elliot is on the clock to pitch what is going into room 101, and he will be taking on, inside the ropes, his very own Kenny McIntosh, whilst Crusher sits on the sidelines. Elliot, you will have 60 seconds to make your point. Kenny, you will have a minute to respond. You will then each get up to 45 seconds for your counterpoints, and then I will make my verdict. Crusher, are you ready on the clock?
I am indeed.
Elliot, in 3, 2, 1, go.
So, for my pick for Wrestling Room 101, I'm going to go with WWE's Raw Underground. I think it's an interesting little experiment, but for me personally, the fact that it hasn't been around for the past 2 or 3 weeks, I'm pretty sure, it's not been the best experiment. It doesn't do for me enough to build any stars more than just doing a series of squash matches for these, you know, bigger, over-the-top, aggressive characters. Most of the time, it ends up getting quite interesting, and only for Shane McMahon to then all of a sudden butt in and go, no, you can do this next week, you can do this next week. And this is after hearing him ramble on and just mumble his lines, and it doesn't come across as the shoot-fight style that they're trying to present it as, in my opinion. It just looks like a Poundland version of Fight Club. And it just, for me, doesn't sell that well. I don't get invested in this. I get more invested on the stuff that's actually happening on Raw with those storylines. So for me, that's why it should be in Wrestling Room 101.
Kenny, the floor is yours.
So, I mean, look, Raw Underground is maybe not the best creative thing they've ever come up with, but it's not exactly Brawl for All. But Raw Underground has given us more excitement. It's brought the return of Shane McMahon. We had sexy female dancers. We had Dabba Kato. We had Dolph Ziggler being tolerable. Dolph Ziggler was tolerable in Raw Underground. How can you take that away from us? We saw Shayna Baszler bringing her horsewomen who've been in NXT doing nothing. So to me, Raw Underground, you have to keep it around because it's something different. It's a unique setting. It looks different. You never know who's going to show up. People who go in it are more interesting than they are in the main WWE, like Eric from Viking Raiders. He was just battering people. It's a nice escape for a couple of minutes before going back to the Thunderdome. So I think you've got to keep Raw Underground.
For me personally, other than Dabba Kato, I don't know anyone. I can't remember any massive moments within Raw Underground. It just doesn't work. I feel like it's a waste of time, personally. The thing with that, you mentioned the Brawl for All. At least with that, there is a legitimate like feeling of, oh, something could go wrong here. People could get injured. I don't feel that when I'm watching it. I don't feel that sense of escapism from fighting. I would much rather watch, say, The Miz versus Dolph Ziggler, to bring it up from Backlash 2016, where they start off with a shoot-style finish where they were mocking CM Punk losing in the UFC the night before. Actual technical wrestling is a lot more aggressive and presents to me the idea of someone's going to get hurt a lot easier.
Time!
So the thing is, Elliot there was saying that, you know, he wants to see people really get injured. So that really shows you the measure of that man over there. But what I will say is, you know, you want big moments. You had the Hurt Business reigning supreme. You had Nia Jax battering people. You had, as I say, people like Dolph and Eric looking more interesting. You don't know who's going to show up in Raw Underground. It gives you more storyline possibilities. You can have a lot of different people like Riddick Moss. We saw him come into Raw Underground at one point and look like a badass. It's a way to have different characters who there's maybe not a reason to have them in a match on the show doing a shoot style fight. And, you know, if we're talking about wrestling being fake, there was a Firefly Funhouse match at WrestleMania that was an acid trip. So bring me more Raw Underground.
I will now bring in my judgment. And do you know what? I'm going to surprise myself with what I say. Now, both sides brought very, very good arguments. I think my favourite moment was Poundland Fight Club. That popped me. I was very happy for that. Although Kenny makes very, very good points in saying the likes of Dabba Kato, Riddick Moss, the Horsewomen, these were people that wouldn't have had access to TV time if it wasn't for Raw Underground. Now, actually, the reason I'm going to go with what I was going to say is an inverse point that was made, and that was that Raw Underground is a nice little break from the usual. Now, I would agree with that if it didn't also come on the same show as the 24/7, 48/7, I-95 South European TV Championship, which is also a nice little break from the usual. Now, for me personally, you don't need both of them. You have your nice little break with one or the other, and for me, I want to see more R-Truth nonsense with the 24/7 title. Therefore, we do not need Raw Underground. And for me, personally, as Chris Anderson, the Anderson Daniels, the Superman of Synergy, I'm done with Raw Underground. It can go straight into Room 101. Elliot, congratulations. I think this may be the first time I've ever agreed with you. Well done.
I mean, to add to this, I completely agree with Kenny and Chris nailed it wrong.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Crush. I mean, this is a fix. Do you know what I mean? You people exactly. Sitting there with your too cool background and...
Kenny's our special guest and you've teamed up against him. How
do you know Rikishi ran over Steve Austin? Rikishi ran over Steve Austin and you're supporting him. Yeah, and
I did it for The Rock. It's fine. I did it for The Rock. Anyway, it doesn't matter what us four think. It is over to you, the Go Home Show audience. Do you agree that Raw Underground is done and should go into Room 101? Or do you think it has a spot on the Raw show and should stay? Let us know on Twitter at Go Home Show Pod or in the comment section on YouTube. However, now we move on to arguably the main event of the show, Crusher. I'm excited for this. You know I love my big, meaty men. What is coming up now?
Yeah, last week we had the NXT Tag Team Champions Breezango, and this week we continue the high standard as Mr. Money in the Bank himself, Otis, stops by for a chat with our very own Will Brazier. They chat all things Steak and Wakes, Mandy Rose, his dream match involving Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, and much more. Take it away, Will.
How you doing? You good?
Oh yeah, morning caffeine and water, my man. Beautiful morning here in Minnesota.
Minnesota, is that where you're based?
But originally from Wisconsin.
My American geography is not bad. Are you a Vikings fan or have you got an NFL team? Packers.
Packers fan.
Packers fan, yeah. Fantastic. Are you still getting your steak and wakes?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm like neighbors basically with Chad Gable. So we train together up in his garage. So we got the weights. We got the food for recovery. I mean, hey, man, what can you ask for?
Fantastic. And obviously, just coming off the back of a fantastic WrestleMania for you, talk me through it. How was it? And an amazing outcome.
Yeah. My very first personal WrestleMania match on the card. It was something that we were working on for a long time with trying to get that, you know, trying to see if we can get with Mandy and see if the crowd can get behind me, you know, being the good-looking man as I am. Now, good-looking of a man Dolph is, to see, you know, can we get the nerd trying to get to the hot chick in high school? That the story that never happens, that the hot chick always goes with the cool guy in high school. And in this case, the cool guy has got to be me, but Dolph thinks he's cool too. And it just was awesome working with those guys. And just going into it, it was like, you know, even though there's no crowd, yeah, that's the sad part. It's like, but we got to be with the times here. And it was like, you know, just missing that one, like, just, you know, because I feel like if the crowd there in Tampa, the way things were going to go, I feel like I couldn't be able to keep the noise down with my ears as I was kissing her. But we had our own, you know, but still it was a moment. My phone still blew up, you know, because I kept, you know, secret from everybody. I said, oh, yeah. You have to watch, see if we get back together or not. And in the place of me watching WrestleMania, it was just like, you know, my phone was going off crazy. And it was definitely like, I just hope that Mandy's dad isn't mad about that. But, you know, dad's very protective. Mandy's awesome off camera, you know what I mean? And it was just great, you know, just complete and still having fun with it, you know. And I'm glad that we're doing that, especially in this time, man, because people are probably getting a little stir crazy inside all day. And we're just providing that entertainment for you just to make sure, you know, hey, man, even the nerd guys get, you know, get the girl, you know what I mean?
Exactly. And obviously now you've become some sort of a power couple, if you will, in WWE. Where would you rank yourselves in terms of the Becky Lynch, Seth Rollins, Triple H, Stephanie McMahon? So are you going for that crown?
Yeah, I think first thing in my head when I started, you know, thinking of things, and she started thinking of things of what to do, kind of like more like a China Eddie, of course, like a China Eddie, like that chemistry of always having fun. We're not throwing the love bird right in your face, but just kind of just, you know, showing people you can, you know, just having fun with each other. And when it comes to breaking up to Stephanie and Triple H, I think they're on the top right there. I think they're like the top couple in the company. Can't take that away from them. But surely, you know, if there was a mixed tag team match and Boss Man Triple H wanted to come and challenge us, we'll take the challenge. You know, I'm sure that'd be a future match, you know, in the bookings probably. because I think Mandy can take on Steph. I think Mandy's got, I think Mandy's got more power, more strength, you know, probably better headlock technique, I think. Don't tell her that, though.
What about you against Triple H?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely going to be, I've got to use my strengths. I'm sure he's going to use his strength, but he's a cerebral assassin, man. I don't see things coming. You know, I mean, it could be juicy in there, so yeah. I mean, if you ask me, I always think I'm going to get him. I'm going to doze him down. But, you know, he's the cerebral assassin for a reason. He plays the game. I'm not sure how that would go down. We'll have to see, though.
Just on the storyline itself, was there a moment for you where you felt it, like, almost caught fire? Like, obviously, it's been in the works for such a long, but was there one moment that stands out and you think, this is really getting over here?
In that regard, I really felt it before we even started doing this. I felt it while doing this on camera for TV. I felt it when a backstage where we start hearing audiences' reactions when she would walk in the frame and they'd react to her because obviously she's Mandy Rose. Then if I just walked in a different backstage scenario and I walked in, there would be a reaction as well. And that's when I started realizing, okay, they're starting to get interested with this. But what really got me interested was when I just did that random post years in NXT. Like a post with her doing her modeling pics, and I said, "You look great, babe." And that pic had way more comments than likes. Like, what's going on here? And then a week later, on Google, one of the top trends, if you type in Otis, it says, oh, "Is Otis and Mandy really married?" I didn't even say anything about being married. It just became a thing. Like, and I just pretended like she was my girlfriend. It was just, oh man, like, and she's, you know, she was like in on it a little bit. But everyone, even the girls are in the locker room, are like, what is he doing? Isn't it creepy? And she goes, no, she knows me. She knows I'm harmless. So that's when I really knew, like, okay, if we continue this way, you know, we get our ideas out, wow. I mean, people are going to like, because you go through, like, every time I'm in public, say I'm going to Costco and I'm getting my steaks, I'm getting my food for the week. I hear two things. I hear, how's Mandy doing? And how's barbecue with Tucky? And it's just, that's what the fans love, you know. It's the first thing they think of the head, you know. So it's like, let's give it to them, man. So I always say, she's doing good. She's doing good. Don't be, you know what I mean? Don't be. And like some guys would be funny and go, what do you think about her being with Dolph during that time? I said, hey, come on now, guys. Don't give me stir crazy. You're in line here. I'll start throwing haymakers.
You can watch the full interview on our YouTube, Sporf Wrestling, or listen on all good podcasting apps. Let us know on Twitter, @GoHomeShowPod, who you'd like to see us interview next. We're now into the final segment of today's podcast. So, Elliot, take it away.
Yes, we are into Network and Chill, a segment every week where we, the panel, decide to watch something on the WWE Network to recommend to all of you. And as I mentioned before, as is the correct answer to who was the best draft pick, Mustafa Ali was my choice for that. And that led to us thinking that what else is there on the WWE Network that we can watch? And there is a WWE Chronicle from last year in the build-up to Money in the Bank 2019. As we all know, Mustafa Ali was meant to face, it seemed, Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania last year, only for him to get injured, and then Kofi Kingston ended up having the run of his career, and eventually Kofi Mania happened, and it was great. And we decide to, and the documentary takes place following Mustafa Ali returning after that injury, and kind of seeing maybe that one opportunity to maybe become WWE champion kind of go away from him. I'll start off with you, Crush. What was the bit you liked the most within this documentary?
Well, there's two parts, because obviously he spoke about his Muslim faith a lot, and that for me was quite interesting as someone that doesn't really know much about religion. Like, to hear what he had to do for, like, sort of Ramadan and stuff like that, it was quite interesting because he's at this highest level. And as I think he said, like, people should expect you to go out there and do it, but they don't know what's going behind. And he was, like, fasting during shows and then eating quite late at night. So I found that quite interesting, and he saw his family background as well. But the part I want to talk about is early on, and he was saying that when he was in the Independence in Chicago, as well as being a police officer, which in itself is incredible, he used to play a heel character where he was talking sort of trash about America. And the point he made was that he was at the show and he get pushed out to the outside, and some little kid like locked eyes with him, and the kid just jumps out. I think you said he was like young, probably like 7 or 8, jumps out and is ready for a fight. And in that moment, he realized that the character he was playing was giving this impression that you could hate a Muslim character. And then from that moment onwards, he had to change it. So I found that part very interesting for me.
I think one of the things I also just found was the fact that he was talking about, you know, being a police officer. I think when he met his wife, he was a stockbroker or a marketing director, I believe, as well. And having to, you know, essentially him saying how much he was supported by his wife and how without her, he wouldn't have had the success he had. Because obviously, as you know, Chris, you know, going into wrestling, it's a risky venture. You know, it's something that it can, you can make it, you cannot. What did you make of that? You know, him showing off his, you know, his love for his daughter. She appears a lot on screen and they look like a nice, happy family. What did you make of that?
Yeah, it is. Obviously, you hear often about the sacrifices you have to make it in wrestling. Like, I mean, you talk about, you hear it a lot from Kofi where he says, like, he hadn't spent a Halloween before, I think it was before last year, with his family for 15 years or whatever it was. And it is like, you see that real sacrifice. And it's nice to see a proper support structure that Ali has. And he even says it himself. It's like, my wife is the reason I'm here. This is why I'm able to do what I do. What I found really fascinating is, obviously we alluded to it earlier, was that Kofi entered the chamber because Ali was injured. And how much that one injury has changed the landscape of WWE ever since then. It's mad to think how different it would have been had Ali not picked up that injury, because we wouldn't have had Kofi Mania. We would have had, as I said, Ali probably against Bryan for the title going into Mania. It's incredible to think how different everything could have been. And I'm actually very interested to hear, where would you think we would be if Ali had not got injured and had made it to Mania with Daniel Bryan?
Because the Chronicle is great. I think that if he had made it to WrestleMania, I don't think he would have won. I think Kofi won because it was a very particular set of circumstances where he was this legendary figure. But I think if Ali had been in that spot, he would have been very, very much elevated from it, and he would have been much bigger name than he is now. I think that, you know, it's funny, earlier in the show Elliot talked about the Retribution thing, and I think that him being the leader of Retribution is the best thing that could have happened to him, because, you know, he was just kind of bland babyface on the show, not because he's not good enough to be more, but because that's just how they've portrayed him. So I think that I really hope they actually tie in him being the hacker to the story as well, from a few months ago, because really you can tie in this whole thing. You can talk about how I was due to go to WrestleMania and face Daniel Bryan, and it all got stripped away from me. And when I came back, there was no more opportunities for me. So I ended up hacking into WWE's back end, and then I got this group together of disgruntled people from NXT. And because I think that's important, they need to bring that in as well. You know, Dio Madden, for example, was a Raw commentator who was then just tossed aside and F5 by Brock Lesnar or whatever. So there's all this stuff they can bring in. And it's a shame that for him to get big, he has to be the heel character that he probably didn't want to be. But I think the important thing is that him being a heel is nothing to do with the colour of his skin, and it's more just to do with, you know, he's disgruntled. But I do hope that at some point down the line, he can make it to the level I think he should. I mean, he's come so far, though, because I think it was actually, I can't remember if it was WrestleMania 33, but there was a WrestleMania where he was on the pre-show in a Cruiserweight title match. And for him to go from that to now being the leader of a faction on Raw is a pretty big jump for him. So I think that he's got a good chance here. And he just seems like the nicest guy. I mean, there's some wrestlers who you think they look like a prick, but he doesn't. He seems like the nicest guy. And, you know, it's really nice to see some Muslim representation that doesn't have to be stereotyped, and it's about time, really.
Yeah, I agree. I think the main thing for me was, I have no issue with Mustafa Ali being a heel. I think it's the right move, and I think we see it a lot. We see baby faces that are baby faces so long that it starts to get a bit stale, and there's only so many times they can be the underdog, which you turn them heel, which gives them that fresh reinvigoration, which then down the line you can turn them babyface again, which I think is what we all kind of expect to happen with Roman Reigns eventually. Like, the world was calling for him to be a heel because we were bored of face Roman Reigns just beating everyone. They've turned him heel. Instantly, it's a more interesting character. Instantly, everyone's more reinvested into him. And then from there, as we imagine, like, it's probably the worst kept secret in wrestling that Vince wants him to be the face of the company down the line. And I think he needed that reinvigoration to go back into it. But I am very, very, very glad that the reason he is a heel has nothing to do with the colour of skin or his faith. It's actually, and in all fairness, it makes the perfect point of, it's a heel who has a point. Like, why he's a heel, he's not wrong about, like, the lack of opportunity. And with the NXT guys, there's enough there that you could be disgruntled. There's a really good Twitter thread that I saw, which kind of explained each reason why each of them would would turn on the WWE, if that makes sense. Each one has a legitimate gripe and a reason to feel frustrated with the system and to go against it. I'm very, very in on Retribution. I think the Mustafa Ali Chronicle is definitely worth a watch. It is, like I said, it's from 2019, did we say? Just before Money in the Bank.
Yep.
So, you know, it's dated, but actually it's also timeless because everything he's saying is as true back then as it is now. And it's definitely worth a watch. Go check it out if you can do. That is all the time we have for today. As ever, thank you so, so much for listening. Let us know, what is the best pick of the WWE draft? Could you have beaten Crush in the quiz? And should Raw Underground go into Room 101? Make sure you let us know on Twitter at GoHomeShowPod or in the comments on YouTube, and let us know who we should interview next in upcoming episodes. Don't forget, we've teamed up with WWE Euroshop. You can win a prize bundle worth £100, which includes a Brahma Bull mini title, a Drew t-shirt, a Bayley t-shirt, and an Undisputed Era water bottle. All you have to do to enter the contest is leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Stick your Twitter handle in there and we will draw that competition very, very soon. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcasting apps so you're the first to know when a new episode launches. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to leave us a review. We'd love to know what you think. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at GoHomeShowPod. And Kenny, where can we find you on socials?
You can find me at KennyMCITR on Twitter and Inside_the_ropes for all the stuff that we've got going on, from podcasts to a wrestling magazine in 2020, a print wrestling magazine, Am I Mad? And much more stuff.
Love that, love that, love that. Make sure to check out the full interview with Otis on YouTube, Sport Wrestling with our very own Will. And we'll be back with our NXT UK review show tomorrow, with the SmackDown review show on Saturday morning. That is it from us. We'll see you soon. Let's go home.